get into the lesson today. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to them. And Father, we pray that we would believe them, Lord, and if somehow we may have got messed up and some of the things that we believe, we pray that we would just get it right with you, Lord, and believe your words as they're written. And that's all we can do, Lord, is make the adjustments as the facts change in our minds. We need to change our minds, Lord, and we pray that we would do that. And Father, now we pray that our hearts and our ears would be open. We pray for those that are traveling today, Lord, that you would just give them safe traveling to wherever they're going, especially those Christians to church. And Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the services today that you would just bless them. For Christ's sake, we pray, amen. Okay, so the last few weeks in this book of Jude, we've seen that God, we've seen God's judgment and that he punishes those for sin. He punishes those for sin. And for God's chosen people, in verse 5, this destruction came upon that Jew for their unbelief. And the Bible's very clear about that. For the angels of God who left their own habitation, they left their first estate. Now what this habitation was, if I had to guess, would be this earth. And when Lucifer was put in charge of this earth, apparently there were some angels here. And it could be that Lucifer seduced these angels, or it could be they left on their own. But there are four angels that are chained. They're bound. Well, I wouldn't say chained, they're bound. And we find them in Revelation, and they're in the river Euphrates. Okay, and that's found in Revelation, I believe it's 9. And we looked at that a little bit last week. But it appears that God had entrusted these angels with a position on this earth. And maybe it was that when Lucifer ascended up to make his throne above God's in Ezekiel, that and maybe these angels went with him. Whatever the case was, the Bible is very clear to what these angels' sin was. Very clear. And that is, they left their own habitation. They didn't keep their first estate. Very clear. And so, if God gave you something and entrusted you with something, with a place to live, and one day you decided that you didn't want what God gave you, and you left that position, folks, that's sin. That's sin. And we're going to see what that actually is called in the next couple of verses. In verse 8, we'll see what that's called. But that's sin. And so last week we saw in Revelation that there was these four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. Apparently, these angels were first cast down to hell. And that's found in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Now, I don't take the stance anymore that the angels in, or the sons of God in Revelation or in Genesis 6, I don't take that stance that they were angels. I can't prove it. Okay? I would veer on the side that they were men. And what happened to all these men that were calling on the name of the Lord in Genesis? What happened to them all? And Noah's the only one, and his family is the only one that got on the boat. All right, what happened to all the rest of them? And so I lean more toward these men were the men were that were calling on the name of the Lord were marrying women that didn't have anything to do with the Lord, and they were swayed out of that thinking. And you'll see that throughout the Bible, people are punished. When they go, like King Solomon, he was punished. He was punished when he went after outlandish women They took his heart. They stole his heart from God. And nobody knows. I don't know of anybody that knows that Solomon went to heaven. I don't know. I can't say that he did. It appears as that there's no eternal security in the Old Testament for certain people. David had it, but
I just have a few questions.
Yeah.
No,
we can discuss them now.
Some of the odd things about the events of sons of God.
Right.
Whether they were men that called on the Lord or not, when they came into the daughters of men, giants were created.
Well,
the context is talking about giants.
Yeah.
Men of renown.
Yeah, men of renown.
Right.
But what is renown? Right. Well, that's our thinking. It says, okay, let's see what it says. And you make that's a valid point. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. That's man. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days of Noah, and also after that, when the sons of God came in under the daughters of men.
I mean, there's in the context.
Right.
Mentioned giants in the same context with the sons of men and daughters of men, the sons of God, daughters of men, and the men of renown.
Okay.
All in the context of the
parable. Right, I understand that, but it says there were giants in those days. In what days? The days of Noah.
Right.
And also, after that, when the sons of God came in under the daughters of men. So it appears as though there's giants there already. And then there's giants after the sons of God came in under the daughters of men. Yeah. Right.
Now,
don't know who those are.
Correct. Who are those sons of God?
We don't know.
Where did men go when they die, even if they call on the name of the Lord? It appears in the New Testament that they're in Abraham's bosom.
But he wasn't made then. Before Noah, Abraham came later. So was it Abraham's bosom before he was born? I don't know. I can't answer that. But the question there, I know what verse you're saying is, but if you go to Job 38, it appears as though these sons of God were there during the creation.
Correct.
Right?
So, all I'm saying is, are they men? And if men were saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because he hadn't come yet.
Right.
They're destined to it like we are.
Right. 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 I understand that. And that's why I can't teach that, because the Bible is not very crystal clear that sons of God are angels. But it is clear that hosts are angels. It is clear, that was the point I was trying to make last week. It is clear that stars are angels, or could be angels. But it makes no reference that the Son of God, that the sons of God could be angels. And you almost have to speculate.
Almost like,
hey, you're saying this word renown. How do you spell it?
Renown, men of renown. They were in the Genesis 6. And we, Genesis 6, R-E-N-O-W-N. Yeah. And so, Schofield takes the stance that there's a godly line of Seth. Where is this godly line at? I mean, the only thing you have is Noah there.
I mean, read the book of Judges, read the book of Kings. These people were not godly.
Right. But as far as giants are concerned, I mean, we know that people were so tall because the Bible talks about the measurement of a bed of this one king. But I could show you Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was a basketball player. And he was pretty tall. I think the guy was like 8 or 9 foot. 7, 8, 9. Right. Right. And this doesn't say there's a race of people, and it doesn't say these sons of God came from heaven to be with these daughters of men. Right. But right. But then again, there's some times where you could go up to a person that maybe he's only 7 foot tall or 4 foot five. And yet he seems like he's way much taller than you. Just because of the way he presents himself, maybe. There are I'm not saying that was the case. But I'm not saying that Israel didn't exaggerate either, these spies. Right? I'm not going to say that they didn't exaggerate. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are exaggerations when men are involved in describing them. And how do you describe a people that seem to be bigger and stronger than you? Oh, we make it seem like they're bigger than what they really are. And I'm not saying that that's the case. But we know that Goliath was big. Yeah, but we could prove that sons of God can be men.
Correct.
But there's nothing in the Bible that we can say this is a clear, definite thing. These were angels that came into these women. We can't. I mean, there's no law even to go, not to even. There's no law from God to even not to do that. And surely there would be something that. If the Lord didn't want a woman to do, he would specifically say. Right? Or wouldn't that not be sin for a woman to go after an angel?
Well, angels come down as like the apostles, okay?
Yeah.
Angel of light, right? He comes down like a man, and he's an apostle, but he's a false apostle, right?
Okay.
They take on the appearance of men, and there's a link there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the thing. We know that angels are spirits. Look in Luke 24. We've already seen that an angel could be, they're ministering spirits. Look in Luke 24. Now, this is God creating, God created these beings, and he created them in a way that they're limited. I would say they're limited because Jesus, he had to have a body prepared of him for him. And the Lord prepared that body. But Luke 24:39. This is Jesus talking here. 24:39. Behold my hands and feet, and my feet. That is, I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And angels are ministering spirits. They don't have flesh. And they don't have bones like Jesus. Jesus was God created that body and formed it in the womb of Mary for Jesus. Okay? There was no relations between. You understand perverted relations between a man and a woman there when God prepared that body. It didn't happen. But the body was prepared in Mary's, and she was a virgin. Okay? And the Lord has a flesh and bone body because God prepared it for him. But an angel does not, and it cannot get one. According to the Bible, there's no proof there that it can get one. And so for us to. Yeah, as in like, right, as an angel. But I mean, and they appear as men, angels.
I got to read that context there. It looks like there's more to it than that.
I mean, but I can't teach that. And I can say, well, we know that sons of God can be men, and God is destroying men in Genesis with that flood. He saw the wickedness of men, and angels are angels. they may appear as men, but they're not. They don't have flesh. Yeah, let's look. Jude 7. Yeah, even as. Well, that's. But it, what is the context? And I understand what some people say. Well, even as. But here, he's saying, I will put you in remembrance, verse 5, though ye once knew this, how. And he's talking about how he's destroy those that believe not, and the angels would not, which kept not their first estate, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. So the context here is he's talking about three different types of people that are doing different things. And I'm going to explain that here when I get into verse 7. And I'll explain that a little bit. And so I don't take that stand. But these angels here appear as though they're cast down to hell first. 2 Peter, these angels in Revelation, there's only four of them that are bound in the whole Bible that I can find. Only four of them. And they're released at a certain time. It's a time of judgment, the great day of judgment when God's judging Israel on this earth, part of that tribulation. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. It looks like their first stop was hell. And then you go over to Revelations, you find four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates. They're in there. Okay? And these angels, they can't see nothing. Because the chains are darkness. It says it right there. Delivered them into chains of darkness. So apparently there's enough chains around these angels that they can't see nothing. All right? Because they're in darkness. And if you put an angels in the river Euphrates and they're bound in these chains, they can't see nothing. But they're released at a certain time. And they come up and they kill a third of the earth. Four. There could be. But we know four come up at a judgment time, and that's what I'm teaching is that's what it looks like these angels are, and there's four of them mentioned in the Bible, and they kill a third part of the human race, a third of them. And so, here's what it appears, that there are some angels that have left their first estate. That's their sin, Jude. That's what they did wrong. They left their first estate. We know that. The Bible says that. What they did after that, we don't know. But we do know that they left their own habitation. They didn't keep their first estate. And that's a place. And we know that the devil was put here on this earth and he was given dominion over this place. We know that. We see that in different books of the Bible. He was lifted himself up, wanted to go into heaven. We know there was an angelic race here from different verses of Scripture. But so what it appears is that the devil had angels here on this earth. And God had angels here on this earth. And at one time they lived in harmony here on this earth. And then the devil rebelled, and it appears as though four of these angels left. And God cast them down to hell and put them back on this earth, and you're not leaving nowhere. This is where you were put. That's what it looks like. But the devil has angels on this earth, and that didn't leave the earth. And it looks like they don't leave. Because you find that when you read different accounts when Jesus was dealing with devils. And in one case, there was a bunch of them in this man, and Jesus came and was going to cast them out, and the devils were afraid that he was going to cast them into the deep. They didn't want to go into hell yet. They know that's where they're going to go eventually, and then get cast into the lake of fire. But what did they do? They wanted to go into the swine, right? So it appears as though the devil has angels here on this earth, and they don't go anywhere. They know what happens if they leave. Chains of darkness. And God judged these angels to show that, hey, you leave your place, bam. But even though they rebelled, maybe they didn't leave, they're here, they get to roam freely on this earth. But then it also looks like the devil has angels in heaven. Because a third part of them get cast out of heaven with the devil. When there's a war with Michael, the archangel, Revelation 12. And so there's angels here on this earth. They don't get put in chains because they haven't left their first estate. When God created them, he put them on this earth, you know. And maybe that wasn't a criteria for the devil, because it looks like he gets to go back and forth. And so here in Revelation 12, there's angels in heaven that the devil has. And they don't ever get to go back up there again once they're cast out. Is it Revelation 12? 12:7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with them. See, it appears as though when the Lord gives one of these devils, one of Satan's angels, power to come to earth and persuade somebody, they get to come. But they're up there waiting for the Lord to give them that direction. They just can't leave and go at their own will. They got to get permission. But four of them, it looks like, they didn't ask for permission, and they left their first estate. And I'm leaning towards the estate was this earth. And God put them here to do something, and they chose to despise dominion, as found in I think it's 8. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil iniquities. And we'll get into that a little bit here in a little bit. But verse 7, we'll move on. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, when we're looking at this even, he's talking about three different types of people that are sinning and God is judging. I don't believe he's relating that even as these angels, even as these angels sinned, right? But not they didn't do exactly what these angels did. It can't be. Because they're getting judged for fornication. The angels got judged for leaving their first estate. And they left their habitation. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. The only time you find that phrase there in the whole Bible. Only time. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now Jude puts these Christians in remembrance of what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities did, all right? And which God punished them for with eternal fire, first in hell, and they eventually will go into the lake of fire when death and hell are delivered up in Revelation 20:14. He cast death and hell into the lake of fire, okay? But here, just because it looks like what these men are doing in the church is going unpunished, we don't have to worry, folks, because God is going to punish them, okay? He's going to punish them. And the end result of that punishment will be lake of fire if they're unsaved. And we as Christians can't think for a moment that just because we're saved, if we do what they're doing, fornication, you know, that we're going to escape God's judgment. It may not be eternal fire, but you might burn up here on this earth, right? You might be in a fire on this earth somewhere. And I'm not saying that every time that happens, that's because of sin. And sometimes it's just to give God glory. But what I am saying is that God will judge your sin here on this earth. And it could be in a number of different ways. And it could be painful. But we know that if you're saved, you have eternal security. It's a temporal thing. And you're going to forfeit some eternal rewards for the things that you do wrong here. But you're not going to suffer eternal fire if you're saved. But you will get judged if you don't judge yourselves. But God, one thing is for sure, God judges even amongst his own folks, and he punishes even amongst his own. And that's where Jude is trying to keep these guys in remembrance of. You're going to see these people are in the church. They're unsaved people in the church that teach these things and do these things and have no fear of what the consequences are. But the consequences are coming. Right? They're coming. And what were these people in these cities doing? The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were committing fornication. That's what we call extramarital relations. We can keep that pure in case there's children in here, right? Nobody, they don't know what that is, little children. We can call that not committing. Not committing. Moving around. Right? Moving around. Not only that, not only were they doing those things, folks, they were doing strange things, like what Romans 1 talks about. That's strange. Why? They had everything that they could want without God, and what did God do? He gave them up to the lust of their flesh. They didn't want him. They wanted to retain him in his inner knowledge. Given over. And what were they doing in Romans? Men with men. Women with women. That's strange, folks. The Bible gives direction not to do certain things with animals in the Old Testament. That's strange. Animals are flesh. Men are flesh. Women are flesh. Okay? And so God gave them over, eventually up. And look, if you would, in Ezekiel 16, there's something strange going on. Ezekiel 16. I don't even know why I got that one written down. 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, this is what they were doing in Sodom. Thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. They had everything they wanted, and they had it without God. They didn't need God for any of it. And idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor or needy. They didn't help the poor. They just lived their lives to the fullest. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And guess what? When you have idleness on your hands, you start to think of weird things. And especially when you have God not one iota in your thought, and you're not thinking about anything about God, you're thinking about your flesh and how you can satisfy it in strange ways. And that's what they were doing. Now, somebody that's going after strange flesh could be a nation. Could be a nation. The nation of Israel. Marrying outlandish women. Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And we're going to have to cut this short. Ezra. Oh, yeah. Ezra. Nehemiah. 13. That's all right. I mean, this is part of studying the Bible. And sometimes we need to go through some of these things to to kind of maybe settle or get a better idea. And we might be wrong. I might be wrong. We might be wrong in our thinking. Who knows? It's what matters is that we get what is the Bible saying and what can we prove without being a bunch of wackos. All right? Nehemiah 13:26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved for, beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? For Israel to go out and marry of certain nations, that was strange. That's strange women. That's strange flesh. Because they weren't supposed to do that. It wasn't supposed to be known unto them. And or it could be people going after fleshly animals, folks. That's what it could be. We know that. We're given time after time in the Old Testament where God commands not to do that. But can it be man going after a spirit or women going after a spirit? No, because they don't have the bone in the flesh. They don't. It's got to be flesh. It's got to be flesh. And so, but you do see in the Bible, in Lot's case, when he was, he had a couple angels come to him. We know that. But the people of Sodom didn't know that. They thought those were men. They thought they were men. They didn't know that they were angels. And you look in Genesis 4 and you see that. Or Genesis 19, you see that. These men wanted to know the angels, but they didn't know that they were angels. They wanted to know the men. And we're not talking about having a conversation with them. I mean, when Adam knew his wife Eve, she conceived. Right? So we know what they're talking about here. And because of these things, because of the people of Sodom going after strange flesh, that is unnatural things. Even in nature doesn't teach you these things with male animals and male animals. Nature doesn't teach these things. That's strange. God brings judgment upon people that do these things. And if a Christian does these things, will God help him? Because the judgment of God is coming if he doesn't repent. And that's what Jude is trying to keep people in remembrance of. Sin does not go unpunished if you're an angel, if you're God's chosen people, if you're an unsaved Gentile, or if you're God's children. It doesn't go unpunished. And we got to keep that in our minds and take heed to the Word of God and the warnings that we are given in these books and in the Bible. And we'll go ahead and stop there and we'll pick this up next week. All right. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words and we pray that we would just heed them and be mindful of them and keep them in our thoughts. Keep you in our thoughts, Lord, because all we need is a little idleness and we're out probably doing the same thing that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were doing. But for the grace of God, we won't do that. And Father, we pray now for the services today that you would just bless them again and help us learn to better walk with thee. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.